Aubrey Sarvis is the executive director of Service Members Legal Defense Network. With all the mixed messages we've been getting about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and when it will take effect, we thought we'd get his spin on this crucial issue. Hi, Aubrey.
Hi there. Thank you for having me on today.
Tell us about Service Members Legal Defense Network.
Sure. SLDN was formed almost 19 years ago, shortly after Congress enacted the Don't Ask, Don't Tell statute. Two young founders, both were attorneys. One was a Harvard graduate, and she was also an Army captain. The other was a young attorney who had just graduated from Georgetown University in Washington. They had the foresight and the vision to see that young service members would have difficulty, trouble serving under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and that those young service members would need legal assistance. And since that time, SLDN has in fact assisted, provide counsel, legal counsel, to over 10,000 service members.
How did you become involved in SLDN?
Well, before I answer that, let me also add that SLDN not only provided legal counsel for the past 18, 19 years, but we've also been on Capitol Hill and at the White House and the Pentagon advocating for the repeal of this law. And that's actually a segue into how I came to SLDN. I had heard that the organization was looking for a new executive director. I was presumptuous enough to think that perhaps I could help, having been in the Army, an attorney who had worked on Capitol Hill for many years, and also a corporate lobbyist. And I felt that SLDN was moving into a phase where the political opportunity was ripe to work the Congress and to work the White House and the Pentagon even more aggressively to get repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell with a new administration coming to Washington. So the opportunity to help here and be part of repealing this very bad law.
Where do we stand with Don't Ask, Don't Tell? I know there's been a recent discharge. And when will Don't Ask, Don't Tell really take effect?
Well, unfortunately, we're in a holding pattern right now on Don't Ask, Don't Tell's repeal. Repeal has not happened. Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still the law. We are pushing the White House, pushing the Pentagon to get certification, which is an important part of the process, to get certification by the President, Secretary Gates, and Admiral Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, to get those three together this month in June before Defense Secretary Gates leaves. There are some signs that certification may slip, may not happen this month, and if it does slip, that certification could well be in July or later. And then there's another part of this process. Once we have the certification, an additional 60 days has to run before we have repeal. And the statute known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell finally goes away. All of this looks like it could come together by mid or late September, October. So, unfortunately, several more weeks to go before this law is gone entirely. In the meantime, we caution and advise service members to be careful, to serve in silence, and until we have this final repeal.
Congress is trying to attach Don't Ask, Don't Tell and DOMA to the National Defense Authorization Act. The administration has opposed this. What's your spin?
Unfortunately, our opponents who are against repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell are not going away. They're determined to create mischief or worse, and in fact, they have done so. The House of Representatives passed the National Defense Authorization Act with three amendments that are harmful, that would have the effect of delaying repeal if this language were to be adopted by both houses. In addition, there's language in there that seeks to micromanage the Defense Department with respect to use of facilities and the role of chaplains. But specifically, what they're trying to do is prohibit military chaplains from performing performing gay marriage ceremonies on military installations, either by an active duty military chaplain or on the military base or facility itself. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to beat back these amendments in the Senate. It's going to be very tough, so we'll be very engaged in that. I think we'll have help from the White House, but we have to watch it because the opponents for equality in the military, they are not going away. They're going to be with us for some time, and so we're going to have to remain engaged in this fight.
Has there been any movement in the log cabin Republicans case against the United States that found Don't Ask, Don't Tell unconstitutional?
No, that's been dormant for the past several weeks, so there's no activity there. I wouldn't be surprised to see it remain dormant until this timeline plays out that I was referring to earlier, specifically getting the certification and those 60 days running. My guess is that the administration is not eager to be in court having to defend that law, and it could be that they are well just waiting to run out the clock on this until that case becomes moot. We'll see.
How would you characterize Obama's support for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
We would not have Congress acting to put in place mechanism to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell without President Obama. President Obama was the catalyst. He was the force that brought Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and Secretary Robert Gates up to Capitol Hill to recommend to Congress that Don't Ask, Don't Tell be repealed. That was a very powerful recommendation, perhaps one of the most important events that happened in getting Congress to act. Having that recommendation from the Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, who was, by the way, a Republican nominee in that position, whom President Obama had asked to stay over, and Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who was also first appointed to that position by President Bush, getting those two men to call for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell before the Congress was instrumental in this happening. And no one deserves more credit for bringing those two men to the table than President Obama. So this would not have happened without President Obama.
I understand that the repeal does not ensure complete equality for LGBT service members. Can you explain that to our audience, and what will be the next step to ensure equality?
I think I can. The repeal statute does, the new law that we're looking to take place in the fall, will not in itself be sufficient to ensure full equality in the military. And the primary reason is the definition of spouse in congressional statutes and in federal regulations. Even if DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, did not exist, if we did not have that federal statute, there would still be a problem. And the problem I'm talking about is spouse is defined as a man and a woman being legally married. The spousal definition does not include two people of the same sex legally married. And what that creates is a barrier for gay and lesbian service members who are legally married in those states where gay marriage is permitted. So that's a barrier, and we're going to have to work with the new secretary, the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and Congress to change the definition of spouse. And that definition is a big barrier, the biggest barrier, to ensuring equal housing and equal health care for gay and lesbian troops who are legally married.
What's your spin on the new U.S. Army Don't Ask, Don't Tell website?
Well, I've only looked it over briefly, but I found it to be encouraging and welcoming. We look forward to working with the Army to make it even more welcoming. But I think it's an attempt to inform the troops where things stand today, the status quo. But we want to work with all of the services on a post-repeal environment, how openly for gay and lesbian troops can not only be safe, but can be welcoming, and to ensure we have a smooth and effective implementation of open service. It's very important that we get this right in the military. And what I mean by getting it right is to reach that goal of ensuring that we have full equality, frankly, in one of the most conservative institutions in our country. We achieve this in the military. I think that we have laid a very important foundation and predicate for full equality across the country.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers over the past year. You know, we've had numerous teens that have taken their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
Try to find someone who is supportive, who's welcoming. This could be, you know, a straight teacher, a family friend, someone perhaps of the cloth, but look for someone that you can talk to, that you can be honest with, and whom you feel will be welcoming and who will be accepting. I would say to those teens, there is someone like that in every community, whether we're talking about a community of 500 people or 5,000 people or 500,000. They're there. Look for them and talk. Now find someone to talk to. That's very, very important. And of course, you can also use technology, use the internet, but there's no substitute for finding someone to have a conversation with in your own community.
How can people get information about the Service Members Legal Defense Network?
The fastest, the quickest way is to go to our website, sldn.org, and you'll find a lot about what we do, our mission statement, who we are, the staff here. And for service members, particularly until we get the green light that the Don't Ask, Don't Tell statute has finally gone away.
What's your opinion? You know, there was a period of time with the log hammer Republicans when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was found unconstitutional, and there was like 15 days that Don't Ask, Don't Tell didn't exist, and nothing happened. I mean, what's your spin on that?
Well, I think the log cabin legal challenge is a very important one. Two organizations, the Log Cabin Republicans and SLDN, both filed lawsuits several years ago within a matter of weeks apart. The Log Cabin Republicans went first, and they filed in the Ninth Circuit in California. SLDN and the Cook case filed in the First Circuit in Boston. I think for both organizations, we were both of the view that we needed a dual track here to be on. And by that I mean a legal strategy and a political legislative strategy in Washington. We didn't know which venue would turn out to be the most favorable. But certainly at SLDN, we understood that we had to be playing in both arenas. And in fact, that the legal strategy in the courts could be complementary to the legislative strategy. And indeed, your question mirrors that, because during that period of time, at least in one circuit, a Don't Ask, Don't Tell was not on the books. And frankly, nothing happened. Nothing earth-shattering happened in the military. And the same thing will be the case post-repeal, if this is in late September or late October. Nothing earth-shattering or startling is going to happen post-repeal, with one big exception. Service members, if they choose to speak to their sexual orientation, can do so without being fired. So post-repeal, no one is going to be fired because of her or his sexual orientation.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times like this?
I look back on Winston Churchill in the context of very difficult times, trying indeed, in England, particularly in London during World War II, and that was never, 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 never give up. And I think for all of us, whether it's that teen you were talking about earlier in a small town, he or she, I have to say again to them, never give up, seek out someone, have that conversation with. And for those of us who are working on equality every day, whether as a volunteer or as a professional, we simply cannot